got some stories for you. We're the Bachelor Masters coming at you live from Los Angeles. I'm Craig, and with me, as always, Chris and EZR. How y'all doing? It's been a while.
Hi.
Hey, great to be back. I'm doing better than you guys are, it sounds like. I haven't heard the full story, but you guys have some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so EZR and I have been hanging out actually pretty often during the hiatus here. We don't live far from each other. And we got into a little trouble going to a taping of the spinoff show, The Proposal. And EZR, do you think our listeners generally know what The Proposal is?
I don't think yet. They will, right? It's ABC. It's going to be on ABC as far as I know.
Right. And we think it's just going to be on after, like, they'll air The Bachelorette for 2 hours and then they'll air the hour-long The Proposal.
Maybe it'll be in the place of, like, between The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise, like that.
Right. That was my thinking. Yeah, it was hard to get a sense of when it was going to air exactly. It seems like rather early to tape it if they're going to wait until after The Bachelorette airs. Well, anyway, it's a show that is an hour-long show, and there's going to be, what, 11 or 12 episodes, they said to us. And it's like a hyper-condensed version of a season of The Bachelor.
Is it focused on men, male contestants or female contestants?
They rotate episodes. So one episode, there's a female who hides behind a wall. She can see the Bachelors, but they can't see her. And then the next episode, the genders are reversed. And they roll out men, and she selects them first based solely on looks, then on a brief interview with the host, and then we don't know how it ends because we got escorted off the lot, which is the sort of source of our our story here.
It starts off with just them in a suit. And she's picking just, like you said, based off of looks. And then it's them off of a small, like, emotional speech, but in their bathing suits. And then
As you do.
Yeah, exactly. And it was funny because that, you know, you think they would have reversed that. They would have done, like, the hunky, based off of looks thing. But then they did the, like, emotional, people got emotional speeches ready in their underwear, basically. And it was awkward. But it reminded me a lot of, do you guys remember Who Wants to Marry a Billionaire from The Fox, like, maybe 15 years ago aired?
I mean, I remember
it's not Millionaire Matchmaker.
No.
This was a one-time-only show on Fox where it was a live two-hour mess. Of just here's I think 25 women and this guy's a millionaire and at the end he had to propose and he did and no wait sorry they had to get married at the end and I think they stayed married for all of 2 days or they got it annulled. The guy turned out to be not a real millionaire but like a real estate millionaire, like his properties are worth a lot. And it had that kind of vibe, that kind of foxy Fox network cheapo, LED light vibe.
Well, adding to our knowledge of how this all goes down is we then ended up having dinner. Do I say with? That might get us into like some sort of weird legal trouble if we say we had dinner with Mike Fleiss, the executive producer of all shows The Bachelor.
We should go through our episode before we tell the good juicy stuff.
Well, I was going to say, you guys are killing the audience and myself right now because I'm wondering, unless the whole audience was escorted out, how did you end up getting escorted out of The Proposal? What did you do?
Well, we get tickets to this thing because somehow we found out about it. I think it was Mark who blasted an email to all of us and we just quickly got tickets, which if you live in the LA area is not uncommon. It's not difficult to do. It's not difficult to get tickets to tapings. You just have to sign up. Although there's this whole thing, I won't bore y'all with the details, but there's a group of I guess, unemployed actors that are still under an agency, and they go to tapings to fill in the audiences, and they get paid, I think it's like $75 an episode, and we're talking everything from, you know, The View to, you know, Ellen, all those daytime shows to...
Ellen tends to be more popular, but there are shows that, like, they need... Like, The Big Bang Theory, you'll never find they'll need people for...
Because people want to go see that show.
Right.
Right.
People fly to see that to shows like that. But there's a movie that came out a few months ago that didn't do well at all. It had Ed Helms from The Office. It was called The Clapper. And basically, it's those guys that you see in the, when you watch a show, and those people that sit in the front and that are too excited to be there.
Right, they're super excited. Those people are getting paid $75 and probably a free dinner or lunch. And we actually ran into someone I know, and it was kind of funny. But you could tell, if you look carefully in the audience, you can tell, who are the hyperactive ones and who are the... We don't really know what's going on because we don't do this very often, people. So anyway, there wasn't a very large contingent of fans there. There were mostly these crew of people, I would say. So that kind of sets the stage. We have to drive, as our listeners know. I don't like driving, but it's the only way to get to the Warner Brothers lot. We get there, you got to queue for an hour. You got to go through all this rigmarole, and then once you're on the lot, they're very picky. So I don't know if they're interns, I don't know if they're getting paid, but there's lots of staff, lots of crew that are production assistants, and they line all of the potential places where you could sneak off and, I don't know, go to try to find a movie star or something. So you're passing the Warner Brothers sound stages, which are kind of iconic. You know, you see it in the Warner Brothers mirror at the beginning of movies and stuff, and you're passing stage 30 and stage 20, and we get to stage 22, and that's where the excitement really started, because they queued us up outside right next to the we had a bachelorette, her trailer, and guess who was standing next to us, EZR?
Oh, all the dudes that were going to the proposal?
Yeah. They were just lined up right next to us.
They were right there, and I was looking at them as if I was watching TV and just judging them to their faces.
We were standing...
I wasn't watching TV for a second. And I was like, that guy, nope, not that guy, And, you know, I was being more rude than I should have been, but only because I'm like, you guys got to get used to it, right? They're going to be on TV in 5 minutes.
Was this in your head or out loud?
No, we were doing it out loud. And there was a group of women that were standing next to us who
were listening.
This was kind of like a new thing for them, I think. And we were just cracking them up because we just went straight into Bachelor Masters mode.
Yeah, we were like, there's Euro Tom Cruise, which is the best one. He was cut early. And then we had, like, there was a bunch of, you know, square-faced dudes with, like, we were just like, what? How come there's all these types of, you know, and all kinds of sizes? And they must have heard us, because as they were walking in, they had to walk right in front of me. And one of them put his hands on his face, like, don't stop looking at me.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I was like, that's rude, guy. You're going to be on TV. Everyone's going to be looking at you for, like, 10 minutes, but...
It was just the weirdest thing, because, I mean, how many, like, millions of dollars go into the set, right, and flying people around and interviews? I mean, these are expensive things, which is why, you know, there's commercials and stuff. And here we are in queuing up next to the soundstage door. The trailer is there, which I'm sure is kind of posh for The Bachelorette. And then, you know, there's 15 dudes in suits just standing right next to us. you couldn't just fork out another $1,000 to give them a green room or something. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
I feel a bit bad for them if they didn't have a private space to go to and they had to stand out there.
You kind of have to assume that this is like the cheapo bachelor rejects that are available to go one day, and it's good for them. They're probably making some money. You know, they get to be on TV for a day.
Right.
You know, who knows what happens afterwards, but it was so, you know, if I can say one thing, they were totally unprepared. This must have been the fourth episode. The director sucked. Like, the show is a mess. If it lasts a season, I'll be surprised, because they had us waiting for an hour and a half to even start. Even the hype man was like,
he was. Yeah, he wasn't that funny, but I think it's just because he's been doing it for a while. So TV shows have hype people, which is like a comedian that basically like MCs the show when the camera's not rolling to keep the audience interested and tells you when to
laugh.
Which
is a lot of the time, usually.
Yeah. Yeah, and he came over to us, though, and the group of women that were next to us. I think he took a liking to our demeanor, and I don't know, Ezra, you were sitting a little to the side, but he was, you know, he was, like, joking with us kind of privately, and he had the list of the contestants, and he really loved the Tom Cruise, European Tom Cruise guy, Tom Cruise.
When it comes out, when the episode comes out, we'll point him out, because we didn't catch his name the first time around. It was... Right. It's too loud in there. But, so, you know, we're sitting through two rounds, right?
Are you guys saying that the hype man was really, like, a stooge for the studio, and he was laughing at what you said?
Oh, no,
but really, he was taking your names down because yes. He was going to get you escorted.
Well,
out of
our photograph, I'm sure, is posted now on the Warner Brothers lot, like a casino. Like, we can't get back in. But I don't think he had anything to do with it. He seemed legit.
I can tell you guys something about the Warner Brothers lot when we're done telling the story, because I have some back some follow up info. Let's say about.
Okay, that's good to know. That's news to me. Well, so we. Like Izar said, I don't know who put this show together, but it was very inefficient. Now, you expect it to take longer than an hour. And a little insider knowledge for people that don't know, they do a lot of the reaction shots of the audience before the show. Mm. So the comedian guy will be like, all right, everyone cheer. And then they'll have all the cameras trained on the audience, and they'll say, everyone boo. And that takes 5 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
They do that at all the shows. But my God, it was just painful. Every time the host would say something, there would be a big gap between his sentences, and then they would say, okay, cut. And then they'd have to roam the cameras around, and they'd say, like, okay, start with the previous sentence. And the poor contestants, you know, they're legit. I mean, they're thrown into this. And they're nervous, you could tell. I mean, that's real. And they're having to stand there awkwardly. And even them, well, I guess they weren't necessarily told to re-say their lines, but they were told to walk back down and walk back up. And, oh my God, EZR, it was just brutal.
No, the thing was, too, is that it was a mess. I've seen well-directed shows, and I've seen shows that, you know, if you need to go simple, go simple. And the director was just, he was not... He's just not experienced. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the business, but I've been around the business enough to like can tell you that this was a mess of a show.
Right.
Well, so we're done, right? Yeah. We've been there. We left
4 hours.
Right. 4 hours of, they probably got what?
Two thirds of the way.
Minutes of things they're going to put on TV. That took 4 hours because they're not ready.
And they were saying, or some we overheard the PAs or something. They were saying that we had another two and a half hours to go.
Right.
And it was already 7 o'clock at night, right?
Right. We were hungry. We were done. We needed to get home to our kids, whatever.
Right.
So,
well, let me preface with one other thing is that it was you, me, and Mark, and we don't, maybe a lot of people are like this. I kind of go by the tune of my own horn. Like, I'm not a rebel, but, and it's not like I don't like authority, but I don't get starstruck, and I wasn't, and I think you're the same way, EZR, and I know Mark is. We sort of work in the industry a little bit, or kind of around it, and we're not like giddy about the fact that we're on the lot and in the studio. So we're not, if we want to go, we're going to go. Is that a fair assessment?
Easier? Yeah, I mean, I honestly wasn't even scared to get up and leave because I thought it'd be, let's get out of here. We're done with this. You know, we've been here for 4 hours. That's enough. Like, I was just, and also just a side note, when you guys do watch the show, I mean, when anyone watches the show, there was a lady just screaming in my face, trying to sit on my seat because she didn't fit on her seat, although like she needed more seat.
Hey, no size shaming.
Well, that's what that's fine, but sit on your, she had a daughter there with her, share a seat with her, you know, don't share a seat with me, but she just thought she owned the row.
Right.
Killing in my face the whole time. I'm like, I am so done with this. She was in love with the host. The host is some ex-football player. I don't remember her from The Bachelor at all, but
he's the brother of the USC quarterback, Carson Palmer, maybe?
Oh, so Jesse Palmer.
Who was on The Bachelor, I think, at one point.
Right.
Very good-looking guy, you know, tall, handsome, and she was screaming at him nonstop throughout the whole thing, like, we love you!
Yes.
So that didn't help.
Really bad. It was not, and I'm not someone who cares when someone sits where I sit. You can sit right next to me, but, you know, I'm not someone who's I'm not a my personal space kind of person. Someone wants to, but she was not nice to me. And I was like, I was so done when we started to leave. So we're like, you know what? They're taking a huge break. There's probably going to take another half hour.
Yeah. They're like, okay, if you want to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom, because it's going to be a while. Like they said that, the director comes over on this, thousands of dollars have been invested in the sound system, except for the director's mic. Right. It's always like, we're going to take a 30-minute break,
Yeah,
so how little respect they have for their director, right, or how little respect the director has for him or herself, and that says a lot.
Yeah, it's like Baba Booey on Howard Stern or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're out of here.
Yeah, we're really. So we go and to the bathroom, try to make like a little like, oh, we're going to the bathroom. Nope, we need to leave. And so they're like, yeah, sure. And I've left early to plenty of things that I've decided I don't want to sit through anymore. Or they record two and I only want to sit through one. So yeah. I just right here, you know, we'll have to escort you out, because that's how if you guys ever go on the WB tours,
right,
have to go around in a cart, because there's so much going on. They kind of just slapped a tour on top of a lot, which is really not good to do. They must be hurting for money. So you really can't just leave. You can't just walk out.
They don't want you wandering around,
of course,
right, if you don't have the appropriate badge or whatever.
Right.
So then the lady that works with the, you know, on-camera audiences, and I've heard before that this is the worst company of those, because they're so rude. She comes up to us, and go ahead, Craig.
Oh, what? You want? Oh, am I meaner to her or something? Well, so the PAs who, I don't know, aren't getting paid and don't give a shit, they were like, yeah, whatever, we'll just find someone to walk you out. But we run headfirst into, I mean, she must have been the assistant director or something.
Right.
Yeah. She absolutely had a fit. She's like, how dare you? You know, you signed up for these tickets. You knew what was it, you know, what was involved. You can't leave. And so... the three of us stand around staring at each other.
It was like a...
You can't leave.
Yes, no, you cannot leave.
Like, do you want to compensate us for staying then? No, you know, since I didn't realize we were being confined here.
I mean, she had a point. I mean, I'm not going to, like, dismiss that we did sign up for these tickets. But right.
Well, that's true, but 4 hours in, I don't know how much of a point she has left. You've been there for the audience reactions and stuff. It's not like you didn't do your bit, right?
Yeah. So we have a silent standoff between me, Mark, Craig, and then the lady. And we are just all, the three of us are looking at each other. Mark's about to cave because he's like that. He's not, he's to cry cave. Well, like he's like, oh, let me.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I don't want to like diss Mark. But he was going to be the first to like go back in. And I'm trying desperately. It was like, I don't know, like an episode of Seinfeld. Like, I was trying desperately to George Costanza something up. Like, say something, come up with some excuse that we have to leave. Like EZR is pregnant.
I was looking at Craig, trying to make eye contact to tell him, Craig, like, mouthing to him 3-2-1 and we run.
Well, finally I say something like I don't even, it was something that didn't make sense, but it got the job done. It was like, Mark, if you really have to go, then we should go. And I just blurted that out, and she's like, fine, we'll go then. And I mean, literally, this was like a 20 maybe not quite 20 minutes, but it was a 15-minute walk of shame out of the Warner Brothers lock, being escorted in complete silence.
With her.
From the stage to the street, right?
Yeah. She, like, dumped us off at the gate. And she didn't even say anything. I was like, hey, I appreciate your time.
You know, when you first mentioned this, I thought that you had started the unofficial Bachelor Masters documentary there, right? And that maybe someone had asked you to stop filming and you kept surreptitiously filming and they had to escort you off. I have to say, the way you're telling it, you sound much more in the right than I had anticipated at first.
Well,
you know, you have kids. That's you're right. As you all said, you have kids. It went on for a while. That's always an ace in your back pocket, where it's like, I've got to go and look after my kid. I can't stay here anymore.
Right.
But, you know, I was planning on running because I was like, I'm not going to explain. I'm just going to run. Like, that was,
you know,
I needed them to board with me, and none of them were looking at me. Like, Mark and Craig were not looking at me Mark knows I'm gonna just take off. So
probably good you did. I've been to a few tapings on the Warner Brothers lot, and they do really take you staying in those white lines very seriously. It would have been funny if you ran, but I bet you would have had security all over you.
So here's my follow-up. So I know somebody. I talked to somebody yesterday that works at the WB, that's worked there for years. And I said, what would have happened if I would have just pee-weed it?
Right.
And
that's not good.
And he said that, first, she would have called security. She wouldn't have run after me. Then, if they would have caught me, we would have gotten all our pictures taken. But that it happens all the time. People disappear from tours to hang out.
Really?
And security tries, but they eventually give up, because if you ever go on you guys have been on the WB lot, but anyone else, everything is filmed there, from like Jurassic Park, I mean, like not right. Jurassic Park, but like, you know, scenes where there's a bunch of Bush and like Gilmore Girls was filmed there. So when they go into any kind of greenery, that's all filmed there. There's so much that there's so many different little areas that you can hide out in on purpose, because they need areas to hide cameras in.
Right.
That it'd be so hard. I mean, it wouldn't be so hard to catch us, but there's a good chance if I was just running on my own, it was everybody for themselves until the gate.
we didn't have like a meet point. Like, if we get separated.
we could have just jumped into the river, like the LA River, and just back to the car somehow, but meet back at the car eventually. Because he told me specifically, they would not have chased us past the gate to our car. They would have stopped.
Yeah, because it's not worth it, like, right?
You guys are gone.
Well, okay, here's where it gets better, Chris.
Yeah.
So we get back in the car and we're like, oh, let's go grab a bite, right? And on our way home. And so Mark says, oh, I know something right down the street. It's like, it's called like Olive something.
Well, it's
Olive Garden?
It's a restaurant that happens to be in a hotel lobby, which is not usual for any of us to do. It was not that great, but it was in a hotel, which we didn't know it was. We just kind of thought, let's just go anywhere.
Right.
We don't care.
Right. So it's a restaurant with its own like front, but it's also the hotel lobby. If that makes sense. It's not like,
you know,
most hotel bars or restaurants, you know, only the hotel people go there. But this one's people off the street go there.
Okay.
So we get in and we sit down at this little table. And we're right in the corner. We're second from the corner. And there's right next to us, I mean, we're talking reach out and touch the next table, is an older gentleman, white, gray-haired dude, talking to this, like, gorgeous, you know, 20-year-old blonde who's wearing PJs.
That was the second lady. But the first lady was... So there was a first lady, though. So he's sitting next to us, and I hear him talking about something. But whenever I overhear conversations in that kind of area of Burbank, you can bet that some of them are complete lies. whatever they are. You know, I own so much real estate. I so many shows. And I'm hearing him say things that I'm like, this guy is lying.
Yeah.
And
he's like, oh, yeah, when I did this one show, you know. And so I said, I turned to Mark and Ezra, and I say what I often say in these situations. I go, is that a father and daughter or a date, right? Because in L.A., you just
first thing
know.
On it, yeah, right.
And then, so we're all kind of like listening in and trying to make sense of this. And then she rotates out, and we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then another girl, same age, same look, comes in. She's wearing PJs, and this is where we're like, something's up, something's not right. And I'm like, hold on a second, this is Mike Fleiss, executive producer of the Bachelor series.
Yeah.
We're like,
that's
yes!
incredible.
So not only were we sitting next to Mike Fleiss, these were the girls that were going to be on the proposal the next morning. He's rotating through them to give them like a sense of what's going to happen. And lo and behold, if you get up and you walk into the lobby proper, there's PAs everywhere. They have the confessional booths are in the side corner. This is
that's
the production.
Amazing.
We were in the hotel.
It's like you found Oz. You got swept away from Kansas and you found Oz right away.
It was amazing.
So it's totally like we got so lucky because we got kicked out of somewhere thinking that's it.
Right.
And then we go into the real like center of it instead of being thinking we got kicked, you know, we got like we're done, we're never going back to anything that lady's going to be associated with because we're not going to be let in. But the crazy part is when I'm overhearing is contradicting everything the hype man and everything they told us.
Right. He actually said, like, literally said, you know, however it ends, you know, you can continue to date or you cannot. It doesn't really matter.
Right. So show the proposal. Called the proposal.
Right.
They said that every show up until the show we were at, which we don't know how it ended, had a proposal at the end, and that was such a huge deal and that they couldn't believe it. Then we sit down next to Mike Fleiss, and he says, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. What does a proposal mean anyway? Are they going to move in next, like, you know, into the same city? Who knows? It doesn't matter. Don't worry.
Right.
And
that would be great if they had a bit with him where he came on the show and said, what does a proposal matter? And like every time the show ended, they were contractually obligated to have him say that.
Right. Wow. It felt so, I mean, there were definitely girls that got flown in, but then they still needed to be convinced. Still, I didn't understand that part at all because they were just trying. He was just really trying to hard to sell it. I'm like, he's Mike Fleiss. He doesn't have to sell it. Why doesn't he get people to do it for him? You know, it's people want to be on TV on a Bachelor tentacle show. You know, that it's not a big deal.
Well, I think this is like a good time to kind of bring up the what do you call it? The end. What do you call it when a book has that extra part? Epilogue. I think the epilogue of it, and I think you agree with this, EZR, is, well, on the one hand, he was actually, I think, trying to calm them down, and he was saying, like, tonight, you know, prepare for your little speech on stage, and, you know, he actually said, like, here are some of the topics that work, and here are some that don't come across well, you know, avoid talking about this, talk about that. And he was going through every girl who's going to be on the show, and I give him a lot of credit for that. But I think the thing that struck me the most is Mike Fleiss, I don't think, has the best reputation. And I think it's around Bachelor in Paradise. Like, he knew what that show was going to be about. And he you know, he pushed for there to be alcohol and sex. And it was inevitable that there was going to be that sexual assault situation. But he was totally 100% above board in his interactions once we started paying attention. Like, he was not creeper producer trying to hit on them. He was being straight above board and professional.
Absolutely. I agree with what we saw. With what we saw, I see that. It did feel, like you said, like at first we were kind of like, eh, and then we were paying attention and we were like, okay, he's saying he was tired. I thought his date was over, but it wasn't a date, right? He's like, moving on to the next one. I'm still so tired. So yeah, it seemed okay. But, you know, to be fair, the Bachelor was supposed to be, like we've talked about before, kind of a gold standard in dating. It's not supposed to be VH1 dating show or, you know, Flavor of Love, Surreal Life, Rock of Love, whatever. It was supposed to be this kind of high standard, old fashioned, like the, you know, proposal at the end, maybe a fantasy suite, we can go in there and talk. And when they started doing Bachelor in Paradise, it's like they're pushing this envelope that didn't need to be pushed because people don't expect that of them. It's great that they did because I love Bachelor in Paradise. Right. It's the best.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, why keep going there if there's no need? But I guess everyone loves Bachelor in Paradise, so I guess it does work. But everything was good in the end, for sure.
Yeah. So there you have it, Chris.
It's interesting. It's I already used the Oz kind of metaphor. It's also like you guys stepped out of the Matrix.
We did.
I'll say that as well.
We did.
You saw what's really happening.
True Hollywood story. true Studio City story, I guess.
Yeah, and on our Twitter, we can upload a picture of Mike Fly so that people can see.
Is that legal? Is there an expectation of privacy when you're in a hotel bar?
He's famous. Too late.
I would consider that a public space. And don't you think he's enough of a public figure that if you were in a space like that, that you happened to be near him, able to talk about it freely as we have.
I mean, page six or whatever probably does it all the time. But I think that's a good idea. When I post this to Twitter and Facebook, I'll accompany the link to the podcast or the announcement with that picture. I think that would be a good way to draw our listeners back in.
And you know, did you say true Studio City story, right?
Right.
Well, that makes me think. One of our contestants, I think it's the stuntman, is from Studio City. We've got, as usual, a great LA crop. We've got a Sherman Oaks. We've got a Studio City. I think we've got maybe one or two others.
So you were able to find a list of the contestants that had their hometown or where they live now?
Yeah, I think it's where they live now. It was through the ABC site. Their little bios had their current town.
Okay, cool. Because I'm looking at, where am I looking at? I'm looking at, I don't even know what site I'm looking at. I'm looking at one of the more funny ones, you know?
A little snarky.
Yeah.
Well, the there's, like you said earlier, you guys were saying, there is a lot from Florida, and
so many from Florida. One of them, maybe you'll remember his name, ECR. What he was from New York, and he decided to go to school in Florida, and he lives in Florida, and he's an entrepreneur who wants to retire in his 40s, like his parents.
Chase, I think his name is, because I don't trust people that want to retire early.
Oh, pretty my goodness. I don't trust someone that moves from New York to Florida to go to school.
Never mind. It might not be Chase. It might be Chris. But only because I wrote him down. Yeah, Chris is, he's determined to retire in his 40s. He's 30. So I looked up that Becca.
Oh, yeah. He looks like ugly Ben Stiller. Sorry to be so rude right away, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, it is way too close of a Ben Stiller lookalike to.
I thought he was like a cool looking Ron Perlman, like a non cool looking Ron Perlman.
Oh, I could see that too. Yeah, less character kind of Ron Perlman.
Yeah, so either way, it's bad. But so Becca, I'm used to saying Becca, but it's not.
It's the other Becca, yeah.
Yeah.
She is 27, I want to say. Maybe she's closer in age. So they're all kind of in the same age range, which I'm happy for. I'm glad there's no 45-year-olds for her here, as far as I saw. That's very normal.
Yeah.
Who are the standouts to you guys? Because I'm curious to know what I'll take my standout.
Well, I think Chris usually has the best read on these. Let me just jump in real quick and say that it's no accident, right, that there's a lot of athletes, because the guy that came in towards the end of The Bachelor and caused the scene, he, you know, tried to win her love back. He was a Stanford football assistant coach, right?
And they were
together for a long time. So she must have she must like athletes or something. And there's two credible former NFL players. You know, they actually, you know, they're not just like bit players on their football teams. They were actual contributors and were in the NFL for a while. One other thing I want to point out, though, this Colton guy who played for the Raiders, He's causing a ton of controversy because his dog's name is Sniper.
Oh.
Right, and people are like, of all the honoring the troops' pet names, like, why'd you have to name it after the sniper who just kills people, right?
I didn't know that was the controversy. I didn't know that. I mean, you said it before, but that's crazy. He played for the Raiders, though? That's so cool. I mean, I guess I know who you're talking about. He does not look like he did play for the Raiders, in my estimation.
A lot of football players don't necessarily look like what you think they look like when you see them in street clothes, like, I guess. I don't know. The other football player, I'd say, looks like a pretty good stud.
No, he played for the Indianapolis Colts, and that's why he's named Colton.
I think he played a year for the Raiders.
You might be right. I have no idea. This is what his bio says on the Bachelor, official Bachelorette.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Right? Who really knows? They can just make shit up. Oh, yeah, I played for the 49ers.
It's true.
He was named after the Colts, right?
Right.
And it said he played professionally for three teams, but it doesn't specify which teams.
So you're right. That's interesting. Like, his parents love the Colts that much to name their kid after him?
In three teams, he's 26. That's the pretty impressive.
Of a football player. I think the average NFL player only is like 2 years or something because it's so hard on the body.
It's so hard. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
I don't know. Well, Chris, why don't you take us away here? You're the most apt at tearing this down.
Well, it's just fresh in my mind. I don't know if I don't have a very good short-term memory. So even though, spoiler for the listeners, about 20 minutes before we recorded, I was kind of tearing everyone on our private messenger here. But the only person that really sticks out at this point to me is Jason, who's a strange-looking person. He doesn't stick out necessarily in a good way, but he's from Buffalo, upstate New York, where I'm from. He's a strange-looking senior investment banker, and he loves the Buffalo Bills. I'll give a shout-out to Jason as someone I hope will go far, even though I know he shouldn't.
He kind of looks a little bit like Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Yeah, he does have that look, like he's going to like moisturize and then go kill a homeless person.
Right.
Some of these are like really unfortunate looking composite pictures because we're just kind of and taking it apart. Their pictures look weirdly fake and weird.
I will say I agree that even though she likes athletes who, you know, I think of in terms of like a dating show as like, you know, virile, sexually attractive athletes. I'm speaking from my point of view here. I'm not putting words in anyone's mouth, but their faces are weird. Like their eyes are too far apart. A lot of them, it's something in the eyes.
Yeah,
like I'm looking at Christian as a guy who's mostly kind of a good looking, traditionally looking guy, but his eyes are pretty far apart.
You're,
it creeps me out.
You're
eye
shaming, Chris.
Sorry, I apologize.
Uncanny Valley area. It's like, oh, what is that? Is that a per? Like you. I feel like I'm looking at features and someone's just put them together inside an oval for the most part.
ECR, you're so right. That's all I can see now. Because I also see there's a man named Garrett who also has his eyes too far apart. And then Jake, they're right next to each other, whose eyes are too close together. It's like they're messing with us.
Yeah, it really.
Garrett.
It's like, some student's bad Photoshop project, and then he just quit trying to be a graphic designer, and now he's gone.
Or it's like when people age progress, like for missing people, and they don't really know what they look like, so they take like a young face, move the eyes farther apart.
Oh my gosh, you too. Wow.
I don't mean it in a bad... I mean, hey, I will say that anything I say, none of us are on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. Right. These are obviously attractive people. You know, someone has deemed them attractive. So anything we say, I just put that as a disclaimer. They're attractive people. They're just weird looking to me.
Yeah,
it might just be the glossiness of the, like, whatever, the life touch pictures they took. My standout, and if you look at him, he is one of these weird-looking guys. But when I read his bio, is Grant. Now, he's the 27-year-old from, like, I'm guessing Nowheresville, California, because I've never heard of Danville.
Oh, Danville, that's up in the Bay Area, yeah.
Oh, well.
No. Oh, it is?
There you go.
It's a city of... No, you know, it's kind of off. It's not like a destination Bay Area spot.
So obviously not on looks or anything, but I love that there's at least one working class person on here, because they're the really underrepresented minority on reality TV. Everyone is always, you know, you come from money, you either fall right into money, or you come from money enough to be able to have you have enough time to not have to work and be right. a social media, whatever.
Right.
Real estate.
Yeah, influencer.
Did you social media participate?
Yeah, that's getting a lot of talk.
What is a participant?
Yeah, exactly. What's a
what is it?
Participant. We're participants.
What that means is that their parents are paying for whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it.
I mean, who knows?
I'm in that way. I'm kind of I'm gonna just blindly root for Grant for the first couple episodes. I don't know what he's gonna be like, but I like that he has a job that anyone would. Like, you know, you'd be proud to have a son who had this job, and you would be able to say it, and no one would be like, what's that? Or
right.
what is an entrepreneur when, you know, you're not doing what, it, you know, it has a very limiting thing you do that's actually useful. Like, I like a working sure. class person on here.
Yes, very blue collar.
Yeah.
And he is wearing a blue collar.
I was going to say, you're right, Craig. And he's got a very nice forehead, too. That's the thing about him. He's got a huge forehead, but I love that.
Well, he does look like a John Cena type, kind of, but more like squished head, like a horse.
Say, yeah.
John Cena.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
fairly good looking. He's got the square jaw, kind of conventionally good looking thing.
Right. Yeah. And if there's another, I mean, for Becca, I like. Nick, Chris, Jordan, maybe Ricky, but then there's this guy on there that looks like a giant baby. His name is Clay. I like that giant baby look. I think it looks like he just looks so cozy. If you guys,
he's another one whose eyes are kind of far apart. I like it. I do like it. You know, one thing that I'd heard.
Yeah, he played in the NFL for like 7 years, I think.
I'm forgetting who said this, but I'm sure someone will know. But there's some director, some piece of advice in film, which is when you want to cast someone in a horror film, especially, a thing that really sells kind of just a feeling of unease is someone who, you know, whose eyes are slightly misaligned.
Huh.
And so I love that. To me, I'm not sure when we see these people in action, but a lot of their eyes are that kind of thing where it's like, I think they could be cast in the lead of a horror film to create this sense of unease, which you probably don't want to hear before going in to start The Bachelorette, but I like the weird eyes. I like that finally we're casting weird eyes.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll jump in. I like the Harlem Globetrotter guy, Kriston. I think that's a noteworthy thing to do. It's a charitable organization, the Globetrotters. It's not like it's a gimmick, but they go around and all like their proceeds go to like children's charities and stuff.
Now, quick question on him. It says he's a former Globetrotter, but right. that he moved to LA and is a he's currently professionally dunking. So do you know what that means?
Events and dunks, I guess.
Yeah, like these are the guys that do trick shots. Like they're basically one man Harlem Globetrotter type dudes. I feel like I've seen this in professional places. Like, you know, before a game starts, let's right. watch this guy or an event, some kind of event. They'll have someone like this. He was a standout to me too because he did go from a corporate thing to Harlem Globetrotter, but then that also kind of makes me think the same old thing. You know, he obviously felt safe enough financially to be able to just be like, yep, I'm gonna do it. You know, there's a lot of
everyone has a dream, you know, giving up what your career to try something new that you've always wanted to do. I think that you can respect that.
Everyone I know who does that has parents that are able to be yep, go ahead, go for it. You know, so it's right. kind of
do you remember was he on the preview at the end of last season?
The only guy I remember from the preview is, I remember when I ran into him, was it Jean? No, it was, I think it was Wills.
Was that, I remember Banjo Man, I think, was on the preview.
Oh, I don't know. I forgot about him. I don't know where, Banjo Man is. Like, who is he? Which one is he?
He's down here. Well, on my list, he's down here. And the Banjo Man, Rose Prick's private Facebook, and a lot of the women on there. I just say that because they're women, but they're criticizing Banjo Man and seeing it as like a goofy thing. I don't really see what the problem is. I mean, being a musician is an important thing.
Well, it's the goofiness of him coming out and doing that, because it takes, you know, I mean, I'm guessing that's what it is. Lincoln, he was definitely someone who was came out first.
Okay.
Even on the list I'm on.
Lincoln's.
Well, yeah. Sorry, just going back. Even on the list I'm on, they're just bashing that he's a banjoist. And he's a professional musician. I don't see what the problem is.
His name is Ryan, by the way. Yeah. And it says, this banjo playing Cape Cod native is extremely close to his family. They all play together in a bluegrass band. He loves playing the banjo, ukulele, guitar, and trombone. Ryan also has a passion for sailing and can't wait to make the bachelorette his first mate.
I would date him. This sounds like a good guy.
Yeah, he has more of the serial killer look than I realized until I saw the see. But I remember him being kind of okay on TV. So
that's the thing. I think we all came out positively on him, if I remember.
Yeah.
About him, because I remember him playing pretty well, and we all agreed maybe it could have been cheesy or something, but he was good enough. You know what I think it was? Maybe you guys will remember it differently, but people often try and do a music thing on reality TV as a gimmick, and they're not obviously not very good, and I think it was obvious he was talented, which helps.
Oh, yes. You know what sometimes happens with these things, though? It's always people take it as... I know we've talked about Wesley before, but there's this kind of, I wonder if he was the first one to do this, but he just went on The Bachelorette and declared that he was only there to advance his band. Mm-hmm. And it kind of has this air of you're only on, especially with men. When men are the contestants, they're always only there to make more money.
Well, there was that one guy from a couple years ago. We were podcasting during that time. He was like a super creeper. And he was from the South and really race, like, came across really racist.
Oh, Lee.
Yeah, Lee.
That's right, General Lee.
General Lee, right, and he'd always play his guitar. I think he set a bad precedent that the guy from Texas, the good-looking guy, Luke, he also played the guitar, right? And
yeah.
He was supposed to be the bachelor, but, like, there was rumors that he had, like, impregnated a...
Luke. Oh my God. Luke was the worst. Luke is a total social media wannabe guy, you know, influencer. So, no,
yeah.
Luke, who dumped Stassi and was like.
That's right. They caught Luke on camera with Stassi.
Stassi, yeah.
Right? ECR?
Yes, yes. They caught him just being fake and ignoring her, and he had told her that they were. Gonna go
that
out.
Was Winter Games gold.
That was Winter Games, and Luke is actually right. He was a touring artist, and then everyone, you know, hashtag unfollow Luke Pell was
because of Winter Games.
For a second, because of right in
it was Luke Gate, wasn't it?
I must have not. I was so not into Winter Games. I guess I missed all of that.
Well, I will tell you that 10 years ago, this Wesley was 10 years ago. So it kind of. I feel like he set the precedent of men can go on reality shows for promotion. Right. That's the point. And I feel like he really started this whole. Before that, there was too much of these kind of sappy men on it for princess love. And now there's so much more suspicion around every time there's a bunch of male contestants. That's the first thing I think of. I'm like, which one of them is on here for the promotion, self-promotion?
Right. All right.
Yeah.
That's a good read. Why do male models always have to have the male in their title? Why can't they just be models?
Do you say comedian? Do you say actress?
I think I say actor, gender neutral. But, male model always comes with that, like, snarky, you know.
Zoolander.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of Zoolander, the guy that looks like Ben Stiller, Chris, sales trainer. Or he trains for sales, I guess.
Yeah. He just better do us proud by the name Chris. I mean,
yes.
It seems like 50% of white people and others have the name Chris. So just be careful. That's all I'm saying. Chris Harrison. You know, yes. Don't you want to do right by Chris Harrison? Be careful, Chris.
Well, I think on that note, we end our first podcast of the new season. What do you think?
Yeah. I can't wait. I wish there was Smell-O-Vision already so we could do the colonisseur. How would you pronounce that? The guy that's an expert in colognes.
Right.
But that sounds like a cool, like, you know, nauseating hobby. But I'm also have my eye on that guy. I forgot who he is. I think he's Jean Blanc. But yeah, so
we're gonna know these dudes' names soon because we're actually gonna have some content to see. Yeah. It'll be good.
Exactly.
Okay. So it premieres the 28th, which is in a week and a few days, which means if all goes according to plan, we will post our next podcast on Tuesday, the 29th.
Bye.